Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors took down the Philadelphia 76ers in Game 1. I had some concerns coming into this game. I feel silly now that I had so many concerns. And honestly, given the way Philly played, it feels only appropriate that we finally bring back the Slander Pod. Asad, welcome back to the podcast.
Hello, William Liu. Welcome, everybody. We just witnessed a riveting matchup between the Toronto Raptors and the Philadelphia 76ers. And let's just recap it, potentially insulting some of the players.
Yeah, accountant Asad, feeling real comfortable. I mean, look, let's just start here, okay? I think that even in our most confident sort of evaluation of the team, we thought that Philadelphia, with all their talent, would at least put up a better fight. And I think they will going forward in the rest of the series. But in game one, like, who really showed up for the 76ers? This team looked... I mean, the Raptors made them look like Orlando. Like, that's the best way to describe it. They literally look like the Orlando Magic. This looked like game six of Raptors Magic more than game one of Raptors Sixers.
Well, if you remember before the game, Will tweeted out, it's like, how are we feeling about game one, guys? Will, do you remember how I responded to that?
Yeah, well, what did you say?
We have Kawhi fucking Leonard.
Yep.
Guess what? The 76ers basically were the Orlando Magic, just with a worse defense. Mm. And yeah, that played out pretty well for us. I'm not going to lie. That was beautiful to watch. Oh my goodness.
Like, have I told you the opposing center shot 5 of 18 from the field? Like, that's a Nick Vucevic stat line. That's not Joel Embiid.
That's amazing.
And 6 of 17 from the wing position. I mean, that's Aaron Gordon.
Yikes.
Yeah. Jimmy Butler.
Tyus Harris was 6-17. I actually thought he was having a decent game. Good lord.
I know. He had like the worst plus minus on the team too, with minus 23, tied with Jimmy Butler.
I love the plus minus, by the way. Tyus Harris and Jimmy Butler, both negative 23. James Ennis, negative 18. What did those guys have in common? Were they guarding Kawhi Leonard and Pascal Siakam?
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ. Oh my God. Take this in. The Raptors won what? 13 by 13 points? Comfortably 20 point lead?
I mean, look, we got to discount the fact that, what is it? Minus 9 in 4 minutes for Jody Meeks. So that's also a concern. But
The Raptors, if I told you the Raptors won a postseason game by like 15 points and only two of them scored in double digits, what would you say to that? Good Lord. Man, this is going to be slanderous.
Oh, listen. The Sixers deserve slander for their performance. Like, I mean...
But they have the best starting lineup in the East, bro.
Oh, man, listen.
They're plus minus
against a Nets team that had no centers whatsoever. That they lost Jared... by the way, Jared Dudley getting himself kicked out. And then Kenny Atkinson, who looks like he's been put in the microwave for too long, holding on to him and saying, we need you. And they actually meant it. I'm just like, that was a team that relied very heavily on Jared Dudley to be on the floor to guard Joel Embiid. And the Raptors have Marc Gasol, who, I mean, look, there's lots of players to praise today. I think the Raptors played a great game overall. Even though, actually, I think, to be honest, there are some things that the Raptors can clean up.
Oh, 100%.
It wasn't a very well-executed game in the first half defensively. I was kind of losing my shit, but, I mean, how can we keep dancing around it? Kawhi Leonard, 45 points, man. 45 points and 11 rebounds.
And the best part about this 45 points and 11 rebounds, like, I'll watch the game. At literally no point did he seem bothered. It was the easiest 45 points I've seen him score ever. Like, man, bro, how are you Philadelphia and you have all these all-stars and you literally cannot guard Kawhi Leonard better than the Orlando freaking Magic? Doc, Jonathan Isaac put up a better fight than
No, definitely. That sounds like slander, but it's not slander. By the way, Kawhi Leonard, so he shot 16 of 23 for 45 points, right? He shot 3 of 7 from 3. So if you take out the 3-point shots on 2-point shots, he was 13 of 14 on twos.
Oh, my God.
With 11 free throws as well.
And the crazy part is, at the beginning of the game, he was 7 of 8. Here's the best part about this game. At the end of the first quarter, the 76ers had 31 points. Pascal Siakam and Kawhi Leonard had more points than that. Combined.
Yeah.
They had more combined points than the 76ers after a quarter. They had 31 points. Jesus, could not guard them for anything, bro. Yo, and that play where Danny Green hit the three and Drake hit him with the get the fuck out of here.
Yep.
Yo, stand up for the entire 76ers team, all right? Let's start off. Okay. Jimothy Butler, I respect you personally. You're one of the coolest players in the league, so please kindly see yourself out the nearest exit. Ben Simmons, Outback Carter Williams, get the fuck out of here. Mm. Yo, what's his name? No knees Olajuwon. Get the fuck out of here, bro.
Oh, my God.
Absolute trash. Yo, Dreamville Carmelo Anthony, get the fuck out of here, bro. Oh, my God. And finally, J.J. Redick. Look, there were two Duke players in the building tonight. R.J. Barrett was in the house. Saga represent.
Yeah, yeah.
Represent. But J.J. Redick was the only Dukie player in the house tonight, boss. Absolute garbage. Get the fuck out of here. Take your podcast right back the way you came from, dog. You ain't getting no more unique clicks and listens anymore. Absolute garbage. The worst podcaster on the floor tonight. And we were in the building.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Listen, by the way, for people who weren't familiar with the Slander Pods from the original Reaction Pod days, this is what happens. This is honestly what happens. If you're looking for game analysis, we'll give you some, but really it's about the slander. And listen, in terms of playing yourself, J.J. Redick, I mean, he played himself, man. He played himself. Like, first half, he had 0 points. Raptors did a great job defensively against him. I think Redick is, like, such a central piece to what the Sixers do in half-court offense, like, with the screening and stuff. Like, you know, it's just, he's a really important player for them. Raptors held him without a bucket for the first half, so great defense. Second half, he comes out third quarter, he starts gunning, and he catches fire. And there's nothing you can do. Like, I think Lowry played pretty good defense, got under him. The man made some shots. It is what it is, right? But, the Raptors counter to that, and the best way to really counter J.J. Redick is to guard him on the defensive end. And this is where, again, Danny Green posting you up is fine in most situations because Danny Green can post up. Raptors fans know this. But, you know, you got to consider the context here. You know, Kawhi is scoring every single time he touches the ball. Pascal scoring every single time he touches the ball. You know, Mark and Lowry are also great scorers in their own right. They can do things, especially running the offense. But the Raptors decided, no. We need to stop the entire offense and just go to Danny Green in the post because that's how bad defensively J.J. Redick is. And the first possession, you know, Redick takes an elbow to the face. It's an offensive foul. Everything's called. Whatever. Cool. Raptors go right back to it. Danny Green in the post again. And this time, Redick, again, like I said, he played himself because he literally headbutts J.J. or Danny Green's elbow, splits his own lip open. There's no foul called because, again, he's literally the one headbutting Danny's elbow. And then Danny gets past him, and so Redick has to wrap him up angrily. And then afterwards, he plays himself even more because Kyle's like, hey, look at the replay. You know, that wasn't a play on the ball and stuff. And JJ's like, yeah, go look at the replay. Look at my lip. I'm split open. And then the referees look at the thing, and then they're just like, first off, you're the one who instigated this. And second of all, you get in tech because you talked to us the entire timeout.
It's wild that JJ Redick was talking so much when, like, in this situation, when, like, when he sees something, you know, suspect in the back of an Uber, he doesn't say anything and just walks out.
Wow.
I'm never being on this podcast.
Oh,
again,
man. No, but this is the one chance, you know? This is the one chance. But, you know, this worked out perfectly. You just happened to be in the arena, and the Sixers happened to be the Sixers. Any more slander we'd like to dish out? By the way, Ben Simmons. So I tweeted out a video of him practicing three-point shots before the game. Like, he was, like, practicing pull-up threes.
I thought he was testing the rim.
Yo, the rim needs to be tested after that. Like, someone got to bring out a level afterwards because I swear to God, I tweeted out. So it was like four straight.
I thought,
like,
that was breaks. An NBA Cares video for Habitat for Humanity, bro.
That was actually Russell Westbrook out there. No, but I mean, the video is four straight misses by, you know, what's like, you know, that happens. Like, I've seen, like,
those weren't misses.
I was going to say, I've seen shooters, like, good NBA shooters miss four straight, but no, yeah, you're right. Those are just pure bricks. And he was also traveling and going into, and also his elbow was like, I just, like, everyone knows he can't shoot. It's nothing new there. I was just like, yeah, this is really bad. By the way, the video, there's like three more misses right after that. I cut it off because I was like, I felt mean.
That's not even bad. Sean Woodley, shout out to him. He had another video from Redick, him shooting from the corner, straight bricks.
Yeah, man.
Man, Simmons shoots like me in the playoffs, bro.
Wow.
Milton Reckley, yo, it's terrible.
Nah, not in the RR tournament. That's all I know, man.
Oh, God. Who else can catch?
I'm serious. Like, you know those contests where, like, you pull a fan out from the stands and it's like seven spots on the floor and you got to make a shot from each spot to, like, win, like, $1 million? Like, I don't think Ben Simmons is winning, like, even the $250 gift card. Like, he's not getting the gift card. Like, after the layups and maybe the free throw, God. It's over.
No, he's not even getting the $25 gift card to Mark Men's Warehouse, bro.
Get nothing.
Oh, God. Who else catch some slander? Yo, shout out to Tobias Harris. He actually started off the game pretty well offensively.
He was their best player so far.
And he was great. Yeah. But the problem with Tobias Harris is that the Raptors basically decided anytime you're on the floor, we're going to annihilate you. Mm-hmm. Whether that's Pascal Siakam at the start of the game off, what, 9 for 11 from the floor?
Yep.
And he just, it was literally just, Tobias is guarding me down the floor, getting me in the post. Boom. Just clear out the floor, let Siakam attack Harris and go to work. And it's just bucket after bucket after bucket. Then, dude, Kyle Lowry had two layups because he attacked Tobias Harris off of pick and roll.
Tobias, I mean, this is what I said coming into series. I'm like, look, Tobias has good numbers, but I think it's a little bit empty in the sense that, like, it's just weird. When I watch him play, the impact on the game, like, he finishes possessions well. He can, like, he's a decent shooter and things like that. But, like, I just don't think he I honestly just don't think he is as big of an impact player as his numbers suggest. And I think Sixers fans coming into the series were like, listen, I don't think Pascal can, outplay Tobias. And some Sixers fans were even saying they had like the four of the five best players in the series. Like, no, man, I think Pascal might be the second best player in the series.
Bro, the Sixers, like, don't even have the best player from like the Ben Simmons draft class. Like, what the hell are they talking about?
Oh, man. And even Simmons had a good game. Like, by Simmons standards, this is pretty good. Like, the Raptors lost track of him a couple times. You know, he made some good cuts. And he shot 7-8 from the field, but, like...
Yeah, Ben Simmons did a great job playing as, you know, what everybody said Pascal Siakam was this season. He's just benefiting off the players around him.
Yeah.
Man. Bruh. Oh, my God.
And then Butler. Butler. We both like Butler, but...
He just has a weird role on this team. Like, realistically, he should be the on-ball creator, but when Simmons is out there, I don't think he really has a role.
But he kind of is, though, right? Because, they don't even have a... They literally don't have a point guard. Like, I saw TJ McConnell shooting, like, before the game.
Brett Brown really should be fired for the fact that their best point guard didn't play until garbage time.
Who are you talking about?
TJ McConnell.
No, I thought... Listen. TJ McConnell, I think, like... The way he shoots a basketball is honestly, it looks like you're lifting like a medicine ball somehow. No, he's maybe as bad of a shooter as, okay, not as bad as Simmons, but pretty challenged. But look, he didn't even play. Like, they don't have a backup point guard. They had to play Butler as a backup point guard, which is like, for a team with this many scorers, it's kind of unacceptable. They don't have a guy who can just distribute.
Dog, this team had Jonah Bolden. Jonah Bolden.
Jonah
Bolden. Jonah Bolden played 13 minutes in this game. Real minutes.
Yeah. Oof, man.
Dude, and like, I look at him, I'm like, this guy looks like maybe a backup five. He's out here like guarding fours. Like, this was an absolute, like, the Raptors basically pants the 76ers team.
Yep.
And you got to see it up front. I actually had a 76ers fan sitting right behind me. Tall dude. He was very upset.
Yeah.
He wanted Embiid to hit the post against Marc Gasol. Okay.
Oh, by the way, I also wanted him to go hit the post. Because
he was actually very upset. If you remember the fourth quarter when Brett Brown called an early timeout, 42 seconds in the quarter, they come out.
Oh, yeah, the bench came out with a 4-0 run against their starters. The bench, our bench.
Brett Brown comes out of the ATO, draws up a play, and I'm pretty sure the play was, I was seeing it from the back, pretty sure the play was to get Redick and Tobias Harris coming on opposite curls and to get them open. Norm and Fred VanVleet, like, Fred got lost for a second, but they had a beautiful switch right in the middle of the floor of that cut, and Kawhi shifted up from, I think it was Jimmy, up to, what do you call it, Tobias to cut off the pass up top. Blew up the entire play, and it ends up with Embiid at the top of the floor, like, with an ISO with 3 seconds left.
Yep.
And to come out of it, a timeout that you call at the beginning of the fourth quarter to try to get your team back and getting nothing out of it. It's absolutely hilarious. Again, it's like a transition lineup for the Raptors.
By the way, no, seriously. And this whole game, really, this whole series is going to come down to, like, rotations and lineups, right? Like, the Raptors starters, first off, the biggest takeaway from this game is not that, like, okay, Kawhi and Pascal, whatever, right? It's honestly just the Raptors starters can handle the Sixers starters.
Oh, yeah,
like, it's not that big of an issue. I think, like, the Raptors can look over the film. There's things that are correctable that they can do a little bit better on Harris. I think, honestly, they should stick a little bit closer to Simmons so that he's not able to back cut as much. Because otherwise, if you give him a lot of space and then he moves, and then all of a sudden you're a little bit screwed because you're not even close to him, right? But, I mean, like, again, like, I think Gasol held Embiid reasonably well. There was one play where, like, I think it was in the first half, like, Embiid was trying to do this post-up stuff and it wasn't really working. And so usually when he can't really bully his way, he'll, like, go to the fadeaway. And he's really good at the fadeaway. Yeah. He's got great touch. And what did he say? He studied Kobe growing up? He plays nothing like Kobe, but whatever. And then Gasol, like, he read that play, and then so as soon as he, like, sort of, like, put the ball down to sort of turn around, he immediately stepped in so that he was still attached to him when he went to the fadeaway jumper. And I'm just thinking, like, how many players in the NBA would be like, look, I'm super happy to let this guy settle for a turnaround jump shot. And Gasol is like, no, I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to contest that. And he barely got, I don't even think it drew rim.
There was even another play where, second half, Embiid gets the ball, top of the wing, pump fake, Gasol's in recovery.
Yep.
Gasol stays down, Embiid goes to the drive. Gasol reads the fact that he's going to spin back middle, plays the middle perfectly. As soon as Embiid turns, he's right there, hands up.
Yep.
And ends up nothing out of that play.
Yep.
And it's like, damn, that is just like, boom. Like, instant decision-making on defense and just shut down that number one offensive option for them.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. And listen, and even there was, again, it's not just one guy. Like, I think especially when the Sixers get Embiid on the move, which they should honestly play more pick and roll with him. Like, that's probably the best way, right? You don't want him to attack Gasol in the post. I don't think it's the best way to attack. But even occasionally when Embiid would get by Gasol, there's one play where they ran this this sort of pick and roll action, you know, with Embiid. You know, Gasol blows out that entire action. They got nothing. They reset. Gasol cuts the rim, or sorry, Embiid cuts the rim. I think Gasol's a little bit behind, and then who's there to help at the rim though? It's Kawhi. Kawhi blocks Embiid at the rim, and then Pascal rips down the rebound, and they go all the way, transition, and they score. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. That's when you realize, like, oh yeah, there's two defensive players of the year on the same team. When does that happen, by the way? When was the last time there was a team with two defensive players of the year?
Yo, give it till next year, and they'll have three. Real is it? Like, yo, Siakam. Oh my God. Like, Siakam straight up just, like, shutting dudes down whenever he wants, and it's like, beautiful.
Butler shot 4 of 12.
They're terrible.
That's kind of supposed to be a mismatch, like a power forward guarding a two guard. And Butler didn't do anything. He had 10 points on 4 of 12 shooting with two turnovers.
And, like, the Sixers ended up with 21 free throws, which were all deserved, but a lot of them were unforced because the Raptors just found one key sequence, and it was like, well, the lead was like kind of fluttering between like 15 and 8.
Yep.
So it was like the end of the third quarter. I think there was a minute 12 left. Nick Nurse calls a timeout just to get Kawhi out because he wants to get Kawhi a breather.
Yep.
Kawhi goes to the bench. You can see Kawhi on the jumbotron talking like, yo, why are you taking me out?
Yeah.
Like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Nick Nurse takes him out, tries to buy him some rest. In that minute and 12 seconds, they managed to foul, is it James Ennis or Jimmy Butler in the corner?
Danny Green fouled on the closeout. Yep.
Foul him. He goes to the line, hits two or three. Then Simmons comes down, gets an and one, misses the free throw, and then on the free throw rebound, they foul Embiid, and he hits two free throws. So they go, the Raptors lose that stretch of a minute and 12 seconds, 6-1. So that's plus five. By the way, Embiid only finished plus four this game.
Yikes.
So even though he was a plus, that was basically all it was.
Yikes.
So Raptors go -5 in that 1 minute stretch, but because of the reviews and the fouls and that, they bought like 10 minutes of real time.
Yep.
Which was kind of ridiculous.
That's why Kawhi was able to play 38, no problem.
And Kawhi comes back with a 10 minute mark, and then they had blown him out by then. So even though Nick played it kind of conservatively, honestly, I think if he just played Kawhi straight, they would have reached the blowout point by like the 8 or 7 minute mark in the fourth. But man, like that was I think the one stretch where I'm like, oh, this could be a turning point. And the Raptors ended up losing it, but they also ended up getting a lot of time. So was like, maybe.
Yeah.
But man, the Sixers were god awful.
They were bad. The only time the Sixers were good was when the Raptors brought in their bench, and the bench is just bad. Like, especially when Jody Meeks is out there with them. Like, it's hilariously bad. I think really it comes down to, and I've talked about this on the podcast over and over again because this is like a repeating trend, but like, it just comes down to some of these guys just have to come in and play mistake-free basketball. Like, I can't believe Fran VanVleet's coming into the game, and then, like, the offense is, you know, like,
halting stop.
It just halts to stop, and then, like, Ibaka, like, he has to do a better job defensively, but just, like, just play with more energy, man. Yeah. Like, for real, like, just, you like, obviously it's impossible to ask him to guard a guy like Embiid because Embiid is so much bigger. But, like, you know, there's opportunities where, like, I like, for example, in the start of the fourth quarter, the Raptors get a turnover. And because Embiid's tired, because he's on a bad knee and also his just conditioning is not good, like Ibaka beats him down the floor and then they get an alley-oop out of it. And then immediately force him to call timeout.
Like, Serge,
right?
You're eating crickets. Like, you're eating cricket smoothies and Joel Embiid's eating like In-N-Out like
every day.
In-N-Out every day, dog. He's having a Philly cheesesteak before the game. Just outrun the man. And honestly, I'll be honest with Serge when it comes to the offensive. I don't blame him because he's a function of the guard play when he's out there with the bench.
Yeah, exactly.
And Fred VanVleet, terrible first half, I'll be honest.
Like, not good. And he was missing free throws, too. Like,
missing free throws. I don't know what's up with him. He caught the rhythm a little bit in the second half. Actually found Serge twice, which was surprising because he threw the lob. So that was, and really like this kind of highlighted the one thing I realized. I was like, man, imagine if instead of like some of these bad, like the few bad Norm mistakes or the few bad Fred VanVleet mistakes, if you had OG to kind of sub in there, especially in this situation, you have another big guy. Cause I think there was at the beginning of the fourth quarter, when Kyle Lowry drew his fifth flat foul or something like that, you realize it was like Kyle Lowry's guarding Tobias Harris. I'm like, why is he guarding Tobias Harris? It was like, oh, because Fred VanVleet's on JJ Redick. It's like, well, if you have OG, you can really go really big.
Yeah.
So you miss OG a little bit, but the fact that the 76ers starters literally can't outplay the Raptors starters, it's not going to end up mattering, I feel. But damn, what a game. Good
and,
God.
And that's the thing. Game. Again, I mean, this game was just incredible. And again, it really goes back to Kawhi, which we'll circle back to Kawhi. But yeah, the fact is, like, look, if the Raptors can solve their bench rotation a little bit, and it's not like I kind of sympathize now with Nick Nurse because it's like it's not really anything that he can do. Like, he can kind of try to avoid playing the minutes, and he can completely blow up his own rotation, but he's clearly happy with how his rotation set up. Like, it's worked really well, right? And there's, you know, as much as the people get the notice, like, oh, man, the Raptors bench is getting washed by the Sixers starters, it's like, well, the opposite's also happening. The Raptors starters are also washing the Sixers bench. Like, part of the reason the Sixers can bring in their entire starting lineup to start the second quarter is because they basically, like, axed that starting lineup, like, 5 minutes into the game. They just pull they pull like everybody, right? So that you look at like, but the thing is the Sixers bench, it's also just as bad. So when they bring in guys like Boban for 10 minutes, the Raptors, like they beat them by 17 points with 10 minutes of Boban on the floor because they're just like, look, we know you can't physically move. We're going to like just pick and pop with like Gasol or anybody else really.
Yeah, and that first sub, first sub comes in like 5 minutes of the game. Gasol's still out there for another 3.5 minutes.
And
he
hit destroying them.
He hit a three on him, or hit one or two threes, I forget how many. I think he hit 1-3 on him on a pick and pop.
Mm-hmm.
And they just basically annihilated that lineup. It was like, all right.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do? Like the Sixers like really only have 5 or 6 guys they can play in the series. And
I think it might just be 5. Like today they were lucky. They're lucky to get James Ennis, who had 11 points off the bench.
I think Korkmaz can play in this series. Like he can give you transition lineups, like he can give you minutes in transition lineups, but like no, you can't be playing like Boban's really not gonna be able to play in the series.
No, and they already benched him in the second half. They were like, okay, go you know, Jordan Bolden's gotta go in.
So if Boban's not gonna play, who's backing up Embiid? They're just gonna have to play those Simmons at the 5 lineups.
Yeah, which I mean Simmons is already playing a ton of minutes. So like this is the thing, you can't realistically ask all these things. And like again, like there's just a team that the depth is just so thin, right? Like you need Simmons because he's your only point guard. Literally they're not playing TJ McConnell, he's the only point guard, right? Yeah. But then you also need to be backup center because Joel Embiid can't play more than 30 minutes without getting tired. You know what I mean? Like they're running out, the options are not great. Like I think like if anything, Brett Brown might look at his own rotation and think maybe I need to keep my starters on the floor to match the Raptors starters. And then my bench just needs to hopefully buy some minutes against the Raptors bench. Basically. You know what I mean? It might. I know as Raptors fans, we're thinking about it as, man, our second unit is bad. I think, honestly, the Sixers' second unit is even worse, and they might even have to adjust a little bit. Because, like, again, it's kind of untenable watching this team. And and when you watch Sixers, like, again, they're just kind of disjointed. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And the thing is, like, the big issue with them is that their three big wings that they start –
mm-hmm.
Like they have trouble playing each other. Tobias Harris fits because he can fit, but he's a defensive liability.
Yep.
If you have him out there with JJ Redick, that's two guys that the Raptors can consistently attack.
Yeah,
at the point of attack or get a switch on.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have Joel Embiid having to make up a lot of room on defense,
and he's got to do it against Gasol,
who's going to be right at the top of the key, not even anywhere close. That's like a constant issue. And then on offense, you have to come down and you have to somehow hope that Jimmy Butler's hitting his shots that creates any semblance of spacing, so the Raptors can't just park Kyle Lowry on him. And then you have to hope Ben Simmons is doing anything. Like, Ben Simmons, you really have to play him off the move.
Oh, yeah.
I think, like, if they want to start setting screens at, like, half court for him to just get him downhill, that might help.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think they should be trying to play more vertical, like,
attack
with the lob threat.
Yeah.
Because, like, Gasol's not going to meet you up top. Kawhi's also not going to meet Joel Embiid up top. Like,
just really just Pascal, maybe.
It's
going
to be tough. So, like, they're going to have to start attacking with some lobs, or they're going to have to start shooting the lights out. But like going into the series, the biggest thing was like the Raptors can basically do everything the 76ers can do, but better. And they match up better, and they have like more players they can play in this series.
Yeah. It honestly, the more and more I look at the series, I'm like, this is very similar to the Magic series.
Yeah.
Which is really funny. Like I'm not even fully trying to slander the Sixers, but like Redick is like a JJ Ross. I call him JJ Ross almost. Because, like, functionally, he's similar, right?
And the fact that he's shorter than Terrence Ross lets you actually have Fred VanVleet kind of to guard him.
Because he can't really elevate the way, like, Terrence could just, like catch and elevate at the same time. And even if you're Fred, even if you're there, you can't really do much about it. Like,
and JJ Redick shot 5 of 12 from 3-point range.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
All right? Like, he shot 5 of 12 from 3-point range. That's pretty freaking incredible for a JJ Redick night, and you're still losing by 13 points.
And here's the thing. The Raptors won by basically 20 points. Like, really, the third unit came in, they bled a bunch of points because, you know, it, for obvious reasons, don't say it. But but the Raptors only shot 9 of 27 from 3.
To be fair, Jeremy Lin's like probably the third worst point guard in the series.
Jeremy Lin would fully be getting 15 minutes a game for the Sixers.
100%.
Yeah. 100%. Jordan Lloyd would be getting minutes for the Sixers. I'm serious. Like,
T-shirt Lloyd would 100% be getting like 20 minutes for the Sixers.
Bro.
Shout out Jordan Lloyd.
Jordan Lloyd. He's not even on the playoff roster. He's
not on the T-shirt. That's amazing.
But he's still here.
Oh, man.
This is it. What a great feeling. Let's give out 3 stars. Number one, obviously, Kawhi. Ooh. 45 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, a block, plus 26, 16 of 23 from the field, 3 of 7 from 3. And really, some of that is exacerbated by him just chucking a couple shots up at the end. In the post-game press conference, he was like, yo, listen. He even talked to Nurse. He's like, yo, get me out the game. Like, we're good. We won this game.
And, yo, I'll say this. As an accountant, just pure independence. We need to disclose that Will Lou is wearing New Balance sneakers right now.
Wow.
But I am not, and I also agree Kawhi Leonard was the first star in this game. Bro!
Yo, get on the New Balance wave.
Dog! I am trying. As soon as he drops those shoes, which aren't dropping until fall. I'm just saying, why would you drop a shoe in fall with a Raptors colorway? Something to think about. But yo, Kawhi Leonard, dog, he made it look so easy. My mans was practicing. This was another game of practice for him. Jimmy, like,
he's just getting better about the series.
It's amazing because he'll go into the post. Like, he'll attack from the wing, get into the post. Like, he'll bump twice, get in the post. Then he'll just stop for a second, collect himself because he doesn't care. He's like, dude, Tobias Harris guarding me? Nah. Jimmy Butler literally looks like a child next to him.
I know, that's great.
Dude, James Ennis, they put James Ennis on him on first shift when he came back. And I'm like, man, James Ennis looks like a child. He has absolutely no chance. And Kawhi completely roasted him. It was disrespectful what Kawhi did to them. He literally treated them like his own children. Well, actually, no. He probably treats his children very well, but he treated them like children.
Yes.
And just bullied the hell out of them.
I was going to say, you got guys like Butler, Simmons, you know, even Harris. Like, these guys are like built like tight ends, like especially Butler.
Like, he just moved them.
As strong as it comes, right? 6'7". Like, how many times have we seen Jimmy Butler come to Toronto, play that power guard role, and just completely destroy the Raptors with his physicality, right?
Yeah, the Raptors' wings in the past were completely out-muscled by Jimmy Butler, and now Jimmy Butler's being made look like the Raptors' wings of the past.
Legit.
Like, honestly, there was a point where I said, honestly, Philly should just stop putting Jimmy on Kawhi because Kawhi's going to barrel through any defender he has. Just put Jimmy on Pascal because you're better off just, like, giving up on Kawhi.
Yeah, at least stop one of them.
Like, good God.
And we don't even know, actually.
Don't even know if Jimmy can stop Siakam.
Yeah.
Dog, Pascal was so freaking good today.
This team is disgusting.
And Pascal, shout out Pascal hitting a corner three while Joel Embiid snapped a towel right beside his leg on the bench.
Yeah.
Woo!
Just an incredible feeling, man. So, Kawhi, Dwala. Number one star.
Dwala all day, bro.
Yeah, Dwala all day. Number two, obviously, Pascal. 29 points, 7 rebounds, and assist. 12 of 15 shooting. That's just that's sensational. 12 of 15 shooting. Like, what? Come on. The Sixers, like, you guys, with all that talent, you're just going to let Pascal Siakam shoot 12 of 15.
Was this
the
best performance by a Raptors power forward in the playoffs?
Oh, my God.
I don't know the stats. I'm just going to say yes.
Nah, I would say, honestly, though, Game 3, Orlando. That Pascal is better. But it belongs to Pascal regardless. Is what I'm saying. By the way, the way this game was played tonight reminded me a lot of the last time Kawhi had 45 points. That was against the Jazz earlier this season. In that game, Kawhi, 45 points on 16 to 22 shooting. This man is remarkably consistent. By the way, he had 45 points in that game, 0 threes. Just 2s and 1s. He got to 45 on 2s and 1s. And Pascal in that game, 28 points. Today, 45 points for Kawhi and 29 points for Pascal.
Damn, man. It's almost a special duo. It's almost like the Raptors have the best two players in the series. It's almost like they have the best two players in the East.
Okay, relax. Giannis is still out there. Kyrie's still out there.
Good God. That's just future Raptor.
Yeah.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. But anyway, third star. Third star, we should get to it. And really, you could argue that this guy should have been the first star.
Okay.
Right? I'm giving the third star to Marc Gasol.
Yo.
Because this dude, literally, as every time he's on the court, that he makes that Raptors starting unit basically impossible.
Mm-hmm.
You can't guard him because you have to be spread out entirely and you have to have your head on a swivel. Yep. There was one play when, and nothing even came out of it. Marc Gasol catches the ball at top of the key, and his head snapped left, right so quickly. Like within a second, he had scanned the entire court.
Mm.
And that was it. That completely changes the entire game. Because then back cuts happening, anything happen, any motion, that pass is going to get there right away. And then, like, he just calmly takes his shot.
Yep.
Like, he gets the open shot. He's like, Boban's closing out. Joel Embiid's closing out. But he seems unbothered. He's going to get the shot off.
Mm-hmm.
And then either he leaves it short, which is okay, whatever, or it's literally money.
Yep.
It's so clean. And the fact that there's very little hesitation now on that 3-point shot.
Hey, man. He's like, a good shooter. He's a really good shooter.
And on defense, single-handedly blowing entire plays up. It's, yep. It's fantastic. Like, I think it was the very first or second Joel Embiid post-up, and he did the same thing he did to Nick Vucevic, just dislodged the ball with his, like, backhand, where he just poked it in. And Embiid kept the dribble, but that quick poke out. And that's all you need, just discomfort the post-up a little bit.
Yep.
And then you see, I don't think Embiid really likes contact as much as he's he really doesn't like grinding down there.
No.
And
because he honestly just wants to push the other guy aside. Like, he wants to do a surge thing.
Yo, Will, tell me this.
Yeah.
Does Marc Gasol look like a magic circus bear out on the basketball court?
I mean, a little bit, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's real perfect that he was on the Grizzlies, for real. Like, he's just like a really fierce, like, character.
Like, I feel like he's going to sell me toilet paper any moment.
Okay.
To clean up the Dookie players on the other side.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, man. Yo, listen. It's not about the points. It's not about rebounds. It's not even about assists. Plus 29 in 26 minutes for Marc Gasol. And he was going, and all those minutes were against Embiid.
And he didn't play in the fourth. He didn't play in the fourth, right?
He didn't play. He didn't need to. Because, again, I think this is actually a smart thing that Nurse did, which he kind of, like, stuck it out with Serge. And I know, like, people are, like, really upset with, like, oh, my God, let's just bench Serge. Let's just only play Serge 5 minutes a game. We'll play Marc Gasol 35, whatever. First off, just chill. It's still only the second round. You don't need to do that. Second of all, like, you don't want to alienate your players, right? You want to make sure you can at least keep these guys engaged. Like, you don't want to – because, like, look, let's say next round they play, like, the Bucks. Like, yeah, you're going to play Serge in that series.
And Serge wasn't horrendous. Like, he looked bad on offense every so-and-so because when he misses, it looks really bad.
Yeah.
But, like, Serge is a very effective offense player. We've seen it all season. Mm. And when Kyle Lowry was back out there with him, got pick and pops. It was fine.
And he got 2 blocks at the end, which I'm both on Tobias Harris.
How many blocks he end up with? Because he had a fair number of blocks.
Both of them were very memorable massive. Blocks.
Oh, my God.
There was one where, like, Tobias had spun off his defender. He was going out for a layup, and Serge came out of nowhere and blocked
it. Slapped the shit out of him.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, like, it's a good situation. You keep Serge engaged. You keep him in. You show him the confidence, right?
Yeah.
You can't just say to Serge, like, oh, listen, oh, you had a bad second quarter against Joel Embiid. You're never playing. Like, you're out of the series. Like, a proud veteran like that, you can't do that to him, right? So you got Gasol, you know, obviously when all the moments matter, it's going to be Gasol. But for the most part, like, you know, you get Serge. And if Serge can play the way he played in the second half, in the first half, in the next game, I don't want to get too confident because I said Raps in 7, but that looks silly.
You said Raps in 7, bro?
Listen, man. Listen. I'm cautious.
Look.
Although I did correctly predict Raps in 5 in the first round.
Yeah, I know. That's why I predicted Raps in 4 this series.
Wow, okay.
Dog.
In 4.
Here's what's going to happen. We didn't even see Kawhi on Ben Simmons this game. Really.
Imagine. They didn't really need to. They Raptors, obviously, Kawhi played
here's
free,
how it's
going to
go.
Free
Raptors,
safety.
Raptors go up 2-0. Let's say they go up 2-0, you know, knock on wood.
Yep.
They go out to Philly, and Nick Nurse says, all right, let me pants this team entirely. Kawhi, full court press, Ben Simmons, start the quarter.
Yeah.
3 straight steals, 3 straight dunks. Philly crowd starts booing them. Ben Simmons starts flipping off the crowd. They all get ejected. Beauty.
Yep.
Absolutely beauty. And then, you know, Shaq starts talking about Simmons being scared. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I don't even know what else to say.
Yeah, what else was I going to say? Oh, yeah, we got to hand out the other words. Gerald Henderson. I guess that's James Ennis. What? Okay,
no, nah, I can't be James Ennis, bro.
Okay, let's go with JJ Racist. 17 points, 6 of 13 shooting, 5 of 12 from the field. Look it up. The 2 rebounds, 2 assists. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he didn't even play that well, to be honest. Because, again, this man literally didn't score a point in the first half.
I was actually thinking it was
only after he saw Red Panda perform the halftime. He was like, okay, I gotta come out here and give you 15
shout out,
points in the third.
Red Panda was actually the first star of the game.
Yes, definitely.
Dude, that lady's incredible. Oh, my God.
I mean, like, first off, okay, we have to admit that, yes, she did drop one of the two bowls.
When she was going for six. She was going for six bowls.
And she dropped, like, two of the bowls. But then she came right back.
She was like, nah, I got this.
Yeah.
All right. Resets up. Nails it.
Yeah.
MVP.
Yeah. That was Raptors game one versus Raptors game two.
Dog, we got Red Panda for halftime.
Which is great. I was cheering like crazy in the press
box. That was the best moment of the game, I'll be honest. And this was a great game.
Listen. That was, I think it's probably my first time seeing her live. It's incredible. The tension, the music. The music really draws you in. There's that like little like traditional like Chinese music with like the horns and stuff. But it's just so repetitive. It just it builds the tension. I mean, Red Panda is amazing. We don't have to say anything more about that. Okay, so we're going to Redick, and then the Pat Patterson Award for. There's a lot of Pat Patterson Award winners, by the way, and that's handed to the any player in the game. To be honest, it used to be just Raptors, but any player in the game that underperforms as compared to regular season numbers. Who won the Sixers gets that award tonight? Because there's a lot of them.
Oh my God, dog, this is so hard.
Like Butler can get it, Embiid could get it. Tobias could get it.
Butler got walked over, which is kind of sad. Tobias, I thought actually was having a decent game, but he actually got annihilated. He did good on the boards, actually. I'll give it to Butler because I don't think he really did much.
He didn't. Yeah, he didn't engage.
And he didn't really get engaged. He didn't at any point try to enforce his will on the game, which you'd think someone would do at some point, especially when you see Embiid struggling.
Especially a guy of his personality, too.
Yeah, like I thought there was going to be at least one stretch in the third quarter where he's just going to be like, I'm going to use three straight plays and try to make something happen. It just never happened.
Yeah.
So it's a little unfortunate. Sure, I guess I got to go to my boy, Jimothy.
Yeah.
Still got great abs. No, he's still cool as hell. Probably the coolest player in the NBA.
He's going to be great with the Clippers next year.
Oh, he's going to be great with the Clippers.
Danilo Gallinari, Lou Williams, Pat Beverly.
That team might be able to beat the Warriors next year. Honestly, like looked so good, especially in this playoff run. They're looking really good for their biggest free agent acquisition, Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. I mean, it's they're probably going to be a little bit disappointed that they don't have Kawhi because Kawhi's going to re-sign and play forever with Pascal. But
do you think he's going to announce that he's going to re-sign at the championship parade?
He's got to go on Inside the Green Room, man. That's probably why the only reason why he hasn't come on the podcast yet, you know? So do it with us, Yahoo. Do it, Yahoo Sports Canada.
Quick shout out Greg Monroe. Love seeing him back.
Yeah,
honestly, he's a great dude. I like him.
Yeah.
And he was +7 tonight. The best, technically by stats.
Oh, my God.
The best center that they had.
Oh, my God.
That's advanced stats for you, all right? That's the large number.
Wow. The large digit.
The large digit.
All right. Well, this is the podcast, the Slander Pod. If you guys, honestly, is this your first Slander Pod? Like, this is what happens when Asai comes on the show. But thanks for coming on. Follow him on Twitter @SwarLasers.
Yep, @SwarLasers.
It's honestly sometimes a regrettable follow, but for the most part, pretty good.
Yeah, I got seven more days of wild tweets, and then Ramadan starts.
Oh, just seven more days. Relax. Yeah,
Ramadan's about to start. Oh, okay, man. Yeah, man's gonna be fasting. I'll be halal, but
the halal tweets will come out.
I'll try to get as much slander as I can out. This series isn't going to go that long anyways. It'll be over by then.
I'm still sticking with Raspot in seven, but it looks ridiculous to say that. It honestly sounds so ridiculous to me after this game.
Just to say, Kawhi Leonard, the night he's having versus, you know, we shouldn't say it, should we?
No, DeMar's having a great second half.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God. Look, I love cheering for DeMar. So
also, is this a 2019 NBA basketball score? It's 80-72 with six minutes left in the fourth.
Dog, this is so sad. Like, how is Denver this great offense if they literally can't score on the Spurs?
How come every playoff game involving DeMar DeRozan has to be played in this manner? Like, this is a Miami Heat versus the Raptors 2016 type of score right
here. This is disgusting. This is a terrible seven game series, man. Yo, and I honestly feel bad because I want Debo to win.
Yeah, same.
But I also want Jamal Murray, Canadian boy, to win. And it's like a loss either way because whichever team lose, one of those two is getting the brunt of the heat.
Yeah.
Which is going to suck.
Yeah.
Man. Well, at least it's not our problem.
Yo, seriously. It's not. It was 45 points, man. Hey, yo, remember when the Sixers were like, no, we can't trade Ben Simmons and who was it? Oh, Markelle Fultz.
Yeah.
Can't give up the whole future for him. Are you kidding?
Honestly, this team would have been better with Landry Shamet.
As compared
if they
to
had Robert, if they had Robert Covington right now.
Oh my God.
Oof, this would be tough. Robert Covington might have shut down Siakam easy.
I mean, Dario Saric is a better defender than Tobias Harris.
Dude, Dario Saric was a Raptor killer, man. Perfect Raptor kid.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Man, so sad. Such a shame. What a shame.
It's a real shame. I mean, shout out Elton Brand, by the way. Honestly, he treated this season like fantasy basketball. He's like, oh, yeah, take all these first round picks. I need Tobias Harris. What do you need Tobias Harris for? You got food at home. Like, you didn't need to do this, man. You didn't need. I'm actually so mad because the Clippers, if they do have a great, you know, future, it's really because the Sixers gave them two picks for Tobias Harris. 1 year of Tobias Harris. For what?
Can the Clippers re-sign Tobias Harris?
Yeah. And they're going to. They're like, thanks for the picks. We got Tobias Harris.
Jerry West played the long con.
Oh,
love
man.
It.
Anyway, that does it for the podcast. I'll be back.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Probably with a game 2 preview on Monday. I'm going to try to see if I can fit that in. I'm going to try to do those preview podcasts as much as possible because I do think, especially in a series like this, there's going to be a lot of adjustments. I do think the Sixers will come back and play better. Slander outside, I think they're a more competitive team than this. But, you know, hopefully that'll come out on Monday. And if that doesn't come out, then I'll speak to you after game 2 on Monday. But thanks everyone for listening. And thanks to Asad for coming on. And catch you after game 2.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.